Dr. Frank, I've got everything ready for today's calls. I mean, this is going to be a little different, huh? Your last show, I can't believe it's really happening.
I know. Feels like yesterday. I was nervous about my first show. And now, here we are. 30 years later, and this is it.
Yeah, but you have something lined up, right? I mean, what are you going to do now? No more mornings on air? No more helping people work through their problems? You can't just stop, can you?
You'd be surprised. I've been in this business for a long time. And I think it's time for me to step away. I'll find new things to do. The world is full of new experiences. Maybe I'll even find time for my family again.
But it's so much more than just a job, Dr. Frank. You've been like this steady anchor for people. Every morning, they know they can turn on their radio and hear you help them work through their day, their issues. And I don't mean to be that person, but what's going to happen to me? Who's going to keep the calls from turning into chaos? I mean, you're the guy. You've been here for so long. What am I supposed to do without you?
Eli, it's not going to be easy, that's for sure. But you've been here long enough to know the ropes. I've seen you handle tough calls, manage the chaos like a pro. You've got this. You've always had it in you.
I don't know. I just don't think I'm ready to handle this without you. I mean, you're Dr. Frank. You've helped people get through their darkest days. People call in, they hear your voice, and they immediately feel like everything's gonna be okay. You just don't hang that up.
You're right. I've had some amazing moments on air. But I've also had my fair share of doubts. There is no perfect ending. People need to know that as well. We all go through transitions, big and small. Sometimes, stepping away is part of the healing process, too. You can't help others if you are not helping yourself.
Yeah, but what about me? I've been listening to you for years. You're like a safety net, a steady hand guiding everything. And if you're not here, what do I do? What if I mess something up? What if the next person, whoever they are, doesn't care the way you do?
Eli, you've always cared. You've got the heart for this job. Don't forget, I'm not going anywhere completely. I'll still be around, maybe doing some guest spots, maybe working on some new projects. You've got this. I'll still be cheering you on, even if I'm on the other side of the phone line.
But it's different. You've been the one who's had all the answers. You've always known what to say. I can't just pick up where you left off. What if someone calls in and I don't have the answers? What if I screw up?
You'll screw up. We all do. But you'll learn from it. There's no right or wrong way to help someone in need. You don't have to have every answer. Sometimes the act of listening is enough. You've been a lifeline for these people. I'm proud you've handled it. It's not about having the answers. It's about being there. And you've always been there.
I don't know what to do with all of this. You know, it's hard to imagine this place without you. It's like everything been leading up to today, and now it feels like I'm losing something big.
I understand, but look, this is your chance now. It's yours to take. Maybe you'll find something new in this chaos. Maybe you'll discover a part of yourself you didn't know was there. This is your time to step into the spotlight. Not just be part of the background noise. You've got the skills. You just need the confidence to trust yourself.
I guess it's just hard. It feels like I'm losing something important. I mean, what's going to happen when people call and ask for you? I don't even know what to say.
When people ask for me, you tell them the truth, that I'm off on my next adventure, and that you're here now. It's not about replacing me. It's about being you. The listeners trust you, They may miss my voice, but they'll get used to yours.
You're really leaving, huh? I guess I'll have to learn to survive without you.
You will. You are stronger than you think. And it's time for you to fly on your own.
I'll miss you. You know that, right?
I'll miss you too. But I'll be watching from the sidelines, cheering you on. You'll do great. Now, let's get this show started. We've got people waiting.
All right, Dr. Frank. Let's do this.
Good morning, Philadelphia. You're listening to Dr. Frank, and this is Mind Matters. Today's a special day, because today we begin a new chapter, and we are going to do it together. Good morning, this is Dr. Frank. How can I help you today?
Hi, Dr. Frank. My name is Samantha. I've been listening to your show for a while, and I guess it's time to talk. Been riding this bus for a long time now, and it's making me think too much. Thought maybe talking to you might make it stop.
Good morning, Samantha. What seems to be your problem?
I'm dealing with some stuff. And, well, I guess I need advice, but I don't think I'm one of those quick-fix types. I know my life is a bit messier than that.
Samantha, first of all, thank you for calling. I'm glad that you reached out. What has been going on with you? You said that you're dealing with some stuff. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, some stuff. Just thought this might be easier than sitting across from a therapist.
I know it can be tough to open up, especially when you're used to facing your challenges head on without asking for help. What has been going on?
Yeah, well, facing challenges head on is what I'm supposed to be good at, right? They told me in the Navy that I'm a fighter. I'll make it through anything. Well, here I am, trying to fight through the ghosts of the past.
I'm really glad that you called in. PTSD can feel like ghosts constantly hovering around. No matter how hard you try to move forward, they keep pulling you back. What has been the hardest part for you lately?
Hardest part? Oh my god, how about everything? The panic attacks, the nightmares, the constant feeling of being on edge that makes me look like a paranoid mess in public. Or maybe the fact that I've got a flight suit hanging in my closet that is just a reminder of a job that I can't do anymore. Pick your poison, Doc.
That is a lot to carry, Samantha. PTSD from military service, especially for someone like you who was in a high-stakes role, can feel like a constant pressure on your chest. Your body and mind were trained for one thing: survival. And now, without the same focus or mission, everything feels scattered. Am I right?
Yeah, I used to be a fighter pilot, a jet jockey. I used to focus on what was in front of me. I didn't have time for the noise, but now it's all I hear. The noise. The static. I don't know how to turn it off. Every time I close my eyes, it's like I'm back up there, the engine's roaring, and I can't escape the damn sound of it. You'd think a person who's used to flying at 600 miles per hour would be able to outrun their demons, but here I am, still grounded, watching the world go by while I sit waiting for something to change.
I'm really sorry you're dealing with this, Samantha. It sounds like your brain is constantly replaying the experiences you had during service. It's almost as though the memories are on a loop, and no matter how many times you try to change the channel, it just won't stop. That is one of the hallmarks of PTSD, The way your nervous system is stuck in fight or flight mode, even when there is no immediate danger.
Yeah, fight or flight. Only now, I can't seem to do either properly. I'm stuck on the ground, stuck in my head, stuck on this bus. It's like every noise, every little thing, it sets me off. Someone sneezes too loud and my heart's doing triple time like I'm back in combat. Someone opens the door too fast and I'm ready to take cover. I used to be sharp. Now, I'm just jumpy.
That heightened sense of alertness is exactly what happens with PTSD. It's your brain trying to protect you. But it is on overdrive. It's exhausting, isn't it? Having to be on guard constantly? I hear that a lot from military's personnel. Your body's trained to react, but sometimes it feels like you're reacting to things that aren't there. You said that you're calling from a bus, right? You don't have to stay on that bus. You can get off anytime you want to. Sometimes the hardest part is stepping off and seeking help.
Oh, it's definitely exhausting. I'm like a human defibrillator at this point, just waiting for the next shock. And don't get me started on sleep, or lack thereof. Some nights, I'm lucky if I get more than 3 hours. Between the nightmares, the flashbacks, the constant sense of impending doom, I might as well be piloting a jet on no fuel. But hey, who needs sleep, right? It's overrated. I don't know if I have the strength to get off. Maybe I'll just stay on it forever.
I hear you. Lack of sleep is a common issue for those with your disorder. It disrupts your ability to rest and recover, and then it feeds into the cycle of anxiety and always checking over your shoulder. The constant state of being on the edge can make it even harder to relax.
Yes. It's like being stuck in the cockpit of a fighter that's never landing. And the worst part, everyone around me thinks I'm okay. I've had a friend who said one time that you're a tough cookie, man. Samantha, you'll get over it. Like, I'm supposed to just bounce back. But it's not that simple. I'm not bouncing anywhere. I'm barely hanging on. I've been so damn scared. I don't know what freedom looks like anymore. Maybe it's just getting off this bus, but I don't know if I can.
People who haven't been through something like you've experienced often don't understand the depth of it. They can only see the strong exterior you've built. They can't see the invisible scars that run deeper than you imagine. And I'm sure that's frustrating, right? People thinking you should be over it by now. When in reality, it's not something you can just turn off.
Yeah. I'm just supposed to snap my fingers and be normal again. Just put it behind you, they say. Sure. Like, I can put 20 years of trauma in a shoebox and just tuck it under the bed. If only it was that easy.
It doesn't work that way. Healing is a process. It's not linear. It's not about forgetting what happened. It's about finding ways to live with it. To reclaim your life despite it. And that's where the real work begins. One day at a time. One step at a time, one breath at a time.
I'd love to be able to think about tomorrow without feeling like I'm drowning in today. I miss flying. I miss the clarity, the adrenaline. But now, when I even think about being in the cockpit, I freeze. The panic sets in. I guess that's the real irony, huh? You train your whole life to fly, and then one day, your brain decides you can't even get in the seat anymore.
That's the heart of it, isn't it? The one thing that was a source of pride and purpose has now become a trigger of fear. But what's more important is that you're still here. You're talking. You're working through this. Even if it feels like you're taking baby steps.
Baby steps. Yeah. If those baby steps could stop kicking me in the gut, I'd be fine. But honestly, Doc, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I feel like I'm running out of options.
Samantha, you've already done the hardest part by reaching out. The fact that you're talking about it is the first step in the healing process. And it's not easy. But you are not alone in this. There are resources, people who can help. And the good news is that PTSD doesn't define you. There is still so much more to you than just the trauma.
All right. I'll get off this bus. I'll figure it out. Maybe it won't be pretty, and maybe it won't be easy, but I'm done being stuck.
Here's your stop, ma'am.
Thank you. Where am I?
Philadelphia, ma'am.
Thank you. Where do I go now?
Well, anywhere you want. You're free.
Samantha? Are you still there?
I did it. I got off the bus.
I'm so proud of you, Samantha. Taking that step wasn't easy, but it's the start of a new chapter. You're not alone. When you are ready, there is help waiting. You can do this.
Thank you, Doc. You've been a hell of a lot more help than I thought. I'll make sure to remember this moment.
I'm glad I could be there for you, Samantha. Take care of yourself. And when you are ready, reach out. We will work through this together.
I will, Dad.
Mandy? Mandy, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. It just slipped out.
No, it's all right. I didn't expect that. But maybe it's a sign, you know? Maybe it's the first time you've let your guard down.
I guess I was just tired of pretending. Tired of the noise. Tired of being Samantha, the tough cookie, or whatever everyone expects me to be.
I get it. But here's the thing. You don't have to be that tough cookie anymore. You're allowed to not be okay. You're allowed to break down. You're allowed to feel whatever it is you're feeling. And you don't have to hide it from anyone. Especially not from yourself.
No, maybe I've spent so long trying to be tough, trying to survive, that I forgot how to just be me, your daughter, without the armor.
That's a tough realization, I know. But the good news is, you're still you, my daughter. Even if you don't feel like it right now, you've been living under all that weight. But it's not all of you. You'll find pieces of yourself again. And it's okay if that takes time.
It feels like I'm starting from scratch. Like everything I thought I knew about myself is shattered.
You're not starting from scratch, Mandy. You're starting from experience. You've been through more than most people could ever imagine. That strength is still in you, even if it doesn't feel like it right now. But the real work now is finding what comes after strength. Finding the softness, the humanity. That's where you'll really heal.
I hope so. I really hope so.
You'll get there. Maybe not all at once, but you'll get there. And I'll be cheering you on the whole way.
I think I'll need more than just cheering, but thank you. Thank you for everything. helped me more than I can say.
That's what parents are for, right? You are never alone. Whenever you are ready, reach out again.
I think I will.
Good. I'm here whenever you need me.
Thank you, Dad.
You're welcome. Always. Good morning, Philadelphia. This is Dr. Frank. How can I help you today?
Well, I'll be. I ain't be seeing this much nonsense since the time the deer tried to wear my hat.
Aha! I knew it! We're here, Martha. Right here in these woods where the squonk roams.
Squonk, Elmer? Is that the name of a wildflower? It's certainly not in my botanical guide.
No. It's a creature. It's big as a dog, but covered in skin that's all wrinkled and splotchy. It's so ugly it spends its whole life crying because it's ashamed of how it looks. I've been reading about it for weeks, Martha. Can you imagine? We're about to discover a mythical creature.
Mythical? Folks been calling that creature mythical ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Only thing that's true is it's about as real as a horse that can play the fiddle.
Really? But if it's just a myth, then why are there so many accounts of people spotting it?
Oh, I can tell ya. They all spotted it after a pint or two of whiskey, and it was probably just a deer with an attitude problem.
I read that it's incredibly shy, and it only appears when it feels safe. That means it might just come out when we least expect it.
Or it's more likely to run for the hills the minute you folks start hollering about it. Nothing scares a squonk faster than the sound of a fool, or the smell of cheap cologne.
I do hope this doesn't turn out to be a wild goose chase. I have a dinner reservation in Scranton tonight, and I'd like to look presentable for it.
Martha, just don't be such a doubter. We're on the edge of discovery. Imagine what the papers are going to say when we bring back proof of the squonk.
The only thing you'll bring back is a mess of bruises and a handful of disappointment.
Did you hear that? That's it! The squonk! It's close!
It's probably just a raccoon with a cold.
I don't want to be seen. I'm too ugly to be seen. Why am I like this? Why must I be so hideous?
Oh my goodness, it's real! It's so sad.
It's real, all right, but what a mess.
Well, look at that. It's like someone took a sad sack and stuffed it full of tears.
Why must you laugh at me? I have feelings, you know.
Oh, no. Please don't cry. We're not laughing at you. We think you're very, very unique.
Unique, yes, that's the word. Very unique.
More like an oddity at the circus.
I don't understand. Why am I so ugly? Everyone who sees me runs away. I've been alone for so long.
Well, maybe it's not about what you look like. Maybe people are just afraid because they don't understand you. You have to give them a chance, Squonk. People can be kind. You just have to show them the real you.
Do you really think so? Do you think they'd like me if they knew the real me?
Sure. If you stopped crying every 5 seconds, maybe took a bath, I'd give you a handshake.
I think the world could use more real creatures like you, Squonk. We all have our flaws, but that's what makes us special.
I've never seen anything quite like it. It's so pathetic. But it's also kind of endearing, in a strange way.
Maybe I'll try. But can you promise you won't run away when I show up?
We won't run. We're not afraid of you, Squonk, I promise.
Well, I suppose if you'd like to be seen more often, you could try, I don't know, wearing a scarf or put on some makeup.
Just don't go borrowing my best flannel shirt. I'm going to be needing it next week.
This is amazing! We helped the Squonk! I'm going to tell the newspapers all about this.
I think I need a drink.
Well, I reckon you earned it, city folk.
That was incredible! Do you think we really helped it?
Well, if nothing else, we gave it a little hope. But I do wonder if we'll see it again. Maybe we've just made things worse for the poor thing.
Oh, you'll see it again, all right. It'll be back, bawling like a newborn calf. Just hoping y'all remember it's still alive. Ain't no Squonk gonna forget you that easily.
I suppose it's better than running away and hiding forever. At least we made it feel visible.
You know, I can already picture the headline. Squonk cried to the city folk, and the city folk cried back. What do you think? Pretty catchy, huh?
More like city folk get lost in the woods, come out with wet shoes.
It's back! The Squonk! It's coming back to say thank you!
Or it's just a couple of squirrels having a heated argument. But I must admit, I'd love to know if it's really trying to connect with us.
You sure it's the Squonk? You sure it ain't a wild boar looking to make a meal out of your fancy shoes?
Oh, it's just a raccoon. I had hoped for something grander.
That's a Squonk for you right there. Look at that little rascal. No tears, no sobbing. Just a full belly and a bad attitude. I reckon he'd be more honest with you than your Squonk ever will be.
But this is not the Squonk. What a letdown. I thought we were about to become legends.
You want to be a legend, Elmer? Try walking out of these woods without tripping over your own feet. I'll call you a legend. At least that's something worth telling.
Well, I'm not giving up. I know the Squonk is out there somewhere. We just need to be patient and give it time. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we should try setting up a trap?
A trap? Really, Elmer? I think that would only make things worse. I'm not sure the Squonk would appreciate being captured, even if it is just for a moment.
If you set a trap, Elmer, all you're gonna catch is disappointment and a bad case of poison ivy. Trust me, you're better off looking for it with your eyes and ears, not a box and a string.
I suppose you're right. I'll be patient. But I really do want to see it again. I think it's just misunderstood.
Misunderstood? It's a critter with enough wrinkles to make a raisin look smooth. I don't think there's much to understand beyond the fact that it'd rather cry than show its face to anyone.
What in the world?
It's the Squonk! It's the Squonk! I knew it would come back!
I don't know what it is, but it sure ain't no Squonk. Looks like someone's been playing with matches, if you ask me.
What is this?
Well, I'll be. It's a magic mushroom, not a Squonk. You sure you didn't slip on a few too many mushrooms this morning?
Elmer, I think you've been sniffing too much forest air. These animals are just, well, they're just watching a mushroom glow.
No. This has to be connected to the Squonk. The Squonk probably just lures the creatures here to comfort them. It's mystical.
Well, if it's mystical, I think we're looking at the wrong thing. If it's got magic, I'll eat my hat.
I suppose the world is full of wonders. I just wish I knew where the Squonk went.
I was so sure that this was going to be the moment. I thought we were going to finally find it.
Well, maybe we found something better. A glowing mushroom's a sight I don't reckon I'll see again anytime soon. Not sure it'll make the papers, though. Still, it's something to tell the folks back home.
Maybe you're right, Jeb. But one day, I'll find that Squonk. And when I do, I will show everyone that we weren't just chasing legends. We were chasing something real.
And when you find it, Elmer, don't forget to bring a clean handkerchief. Looks like you're gonna need it.
Well, that's my story. What do you think?
Really? A squonk story? You realize how many stories I've listened to about that damn squonk? Yet no one has ever had a lick of proof about it ever existing. Oh, and magic mushrooms, please. You would need to be on mushrooms in order to enjoy that story you just told me.
Really? Huh. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't good at all.
You want me to tell you another one?
Sure. Why not? But this story, I want action. I want mystery. I want it good.
Okay. Okay, huh. Let me think. I think I got what you're looking for.
Let me hear it.
Okay. I'll start this story by saying, is it out there?
We did it! Hell, Frank, we actually did it! We got the whole damn bank's worth!
Keep your voice down. They'll be looking for us soon. We need to make it quick. The money's ours now, Tom. You know what to do.
Yeah, I know the plan. We split it, head out of town, and live like kings. This is it, Frank. The start of something big. Just think of it. No more small-time jobs. No more hiding out in this rat hole. We're gonna be free, Frank!
You sure nobody followed us?
Ain't nobody dumb enough to track us in this fog. We're safe, Frank. Just you and me. Nobody's gonna find us in the woods. What are you doing with your money?
I have some plans.
I hear you on that. I have some plans as well. Big plans. Really big plans.
I don't think you'll be able to do those plans.
Why not? We have lots of money.
Yeah, but nobody's going to be sharing this with anyone.
What the hell? Frank? What are you doing?
Don't take it personally, Tom. It's just business. You know how it is. Sorry, Tom. Couldn't trust you to keep your mouth shut. No one gets to take what's mine. I'll be long gone by the time they find him, and no one will ever know where I left it.
Wait a minute. I have to stop you there.
Oh, your timing couldn't have been worse. The story was just about to take a twist.
That's fine, but I think you left out some important information.
What am I missing, huh? You said you wanted a story with some action, mystery. I was giving you that.
Maybe you were, maybe you weren't.
Oh, what do you want?
Continue the story, but after what you've already told me.
Okay, huh. I'll pick up the story a couple of days later, huh? After the police have found Tom's body.
That's fine. Whatever makes you work.
There's no sign of a struggle. Frank must have been quick. Real clean shot. He did this to Tom. He knows how to handle a gun.
But, Sheriff, the bank was robbed a few days ago. Frank's a known criminal in these parts. Why would he come out here? The hollow's full of stories, but it's a hell of a place to hide cash, isn't it?
People say that the hollow's got a way of swallowing secrets, Harlan. And money. Most folks around here think the cash went with Frank when they found his body. But there's something fishy about this. Why stash the money so deep in these woods? Why not just disappear like he planned?
Maybe Frank thought he'd need to come back for it later. Maybe he thought it was safer here. You hear the stories about this place, Sheriff. The old-timers say no one who comes out of the hollow leaves without some kind of curse.
I don't believe in curses, Harlan. But I believe in greed. and I believe in men who think they can fool the law. Oh, we need to find that money. It's somewhere in this hollow, and I'll be damned if we let it disappear like Frank did. Watch your step. These woods are full of old tricks, and whoever hid that money out here, they don't want anyone finding it.
Do you think that we will find it?
If that money's out here, it's not just a legend. It's a trap.
Sorry, but I have to stop you again.
Golly, I hope you don't do this with everyone who tries to tell a story.
Only the good ones. I didn't stop you while you were telling the first story.
No, I guess you didn't. So, what you're saying is that you like this story.
I like parts. Still needs more.
Do you have any idea what it still needs?
You're the storyteller. You finish the story.
Okay, sorry. Usually I just tell the stories with no interruption, or really, no interaction whatsoever. Most of the time, I just talk to myself.
Maybe you have always been by yourself.
No, I'm surrounded by people every day. That is just the thing with my job, you see. I blend in. I'm always around, yet no one sees me.
You're more than just a storyteller, aren't you?
I have been called many names, but for today, I'm the storyteller, and I have a story to finish.
A man, a mystery. I like that. Please, finish your story.
The story continues as the deputy and the sheriff keep looking through the woods.
Sheriff, do you ever get the feeling like something's watching us?
I've been watched by more dangerous things than the wind, Harlan. Now keep your eyes peeled. We're getting close.
I have a bad feeling about this.
We've come this far. Might as well see it through.
Oh, Jesus, Sheriff! What the hell was that?
Well, I'll be damned. It's here.
You found it. It's really here. All of it.
And now we found it, you're cursed, Harlan. Just like everyone else who's ever come searching.
What do you mean I'm cursed? Sheriff Cooper? No, stop!
Is there a different name for killing when you wear a uniform to do it?
No one walks away with my money.
So, what'd you think?
I think you must have had an interesting childhood.
What makes you think that?
Your ability to come up with these stories. The amount of detail. The characters. Are they from your past?
The characters are just characters. They have no meaning to me. They could all be nameless faces, and the stories would still be the same.
Why is it that you wanted to meet me?
To get to know you. Tell you some stories.
That's all?
What else would there be, huh?
I write for a small town paper. You know, those things that people don't even read anymore.
I know who you are and what you do.
And yet, you are still here.
And yet, I'm still here.
There's more to you than what you're telling me. Isn't there?
Yes.
Will you tell me?
No.
Why not?
The people are not ready yet.
How can you be so certain?
I know people. I know people all too well, really.
What exactly is it you think I'm not ready for?
The truth. The truth about everything. About people. About the world. About the stories I've seen, lived, and witnessed.
Tell me.
If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Not now, not the way you are. People like you, people in your line of work, you think you know everything. But you don't. You haven't seen what I've seen.
I'm just a journalist. I write stories. That's all.
And that's the problem. You write stories, but you don't live them. There's a big difference.
So, what is it that I'm supposed to understand?
You want to understand what's real, don't you? What people are really beneath the layers. But the truth isn't as pretty as the stories you tell. Oh, it's messier. So much messier. It's uglier and, oh, golly, sometimes it's dangerous. It's just right dangerous.
What kind of danger? What's so dangerous about the truth?
The truth makes people uncomfortable, makes them question things they'd rather ignore. It forces them to look at themselves and realize they're not who they think they are. And most people, you know, they can't handle that. So they bury it. They hide it. They make up stories to make them feel safe.
So what is it you know? What is it you're hiding?
I'm not hiding anything. I'm just waiting. Waiting for the time when people will be ready. But that time, it's not now.
Maybe you're wrong. Maybe people are ready. Maybe we just need to show them.
You think so? You think people are ready for the truth, huh? For the things I've seen.
I have to believe they are. Otherwise, what's the point of writing all these stories? What's the point of pretending?
You'll learn soon enough. Just be careful. Sometimes the truth doesn't set you free. Sometimes it traps you. Like in the last story I told.
If you're not going to tell me then, can you indulge me with another story?
That I can do. Let me tell you a tale from the 1800s about a small town that's covered in a veil of mystery. And most people don't like to talk about what goes on here.
So, you're telling me there's truth to this goblin?
It's not just a story, lad. A goblin has been around these parts for over a century. It doesn't show itself to everyone, but it's real, and it's hungry. It comes from the woods, deep in the shadows where the moon can't reach.
Don't listen to him, George. Old Man Jenkins has been spinning tales since before I was born. There's no such thing as a goblin. It's just folklore. Stories to scare children.
You think I'm mad, girl? You think the screams that echo through the woods at night are just the wind? People who go into those woods don't always come back. And when they do, they're different.
What do you mean, different?
They've seen the goblin. They've felt its claws, heard its whispers. And when they return, they've lost something, something deep. You can see it in their eyes, hollow. Like they've seen hell.
And what's this goblin supposed to look like, eh? Big green skin, pointy ears. Do you hear yourself?
No, no, it's worse than that. It looks like a man, but twisted. Its face is melted, as if it were never meant to exist. And its eyes, oh, they shine like fire, burning into your soul. It stands about 7 feet tall, with claws that could rip through flesh like a knife through butter.
And what does it want?
It wants your soul, boy. It wants your fear. It feeds on the terror you feel when it's close. You'll hear it before you see it. The soft rustle of leaves, a low growl, and then silence.
All right, that's enough. I'm going home. You can write all the nonsense you want, George, but I'm not buying it.
How do you know all this? How can you be so certain?
I've seen it once, and it saw me.
What happened? What did you see?
Well, for a small coin, I will tell you my story.
Yes, yes, of course. Here, take my silver.
I was young once, a fool like you. Thinking I knew everything, I ventured into those woods, thinking I could prove the old stories wrong. I thought I could see for myself. I never thought, never imagined something could be so wrong. It went deeper and deeper until I couldn't hear anything but my own heartbeat. And then I saw it. At first, I thought it was just a man, a silhouette in the mist. But then his face, it wasn't a man. Its skin like melted wax and its eyes, ooh. It saw me, George. It saw me and I froze. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe. It spoke, not in words, but in thoughts. It whispered things, oh, terrible things. It knew my deepest fears, my regrets. And in that moment, I knew it would take them, take me.
Did it take you?
No, but something inside me died that night. It's still with me. If you go into those woods, George, you'll find more than you bargained for. You'll see it, feel it, and it will know you.
I need to know. I have to know the truth.
Oh, the truth will find you, even when you're not looking.
I have a bad feeling about George in this story.
I'd focus more on what's being said than what happens to a character, you see. The truth often hides itself in plain sight, but we're focused on other things.
I know you put hidden messages in your stories. How you pick up on those?
Some are more obvious than others, huh?
Do you always talk in a mysterious way?
I know exactly what I'm saying, and what happens next.
I am always in front of you, but cannot be seen.
I am given to all and surrendered by all in the end. None can refuse me forever.
So what happens to George?
This is stupid. It's just a story. Nothing more than folklore. Just the wind.
I see you, little man. Come closer.
This is ridiculous, George. I'm not going any further. There's no goblin. It's just some old man's ramblings.
I need to see for myself. Old Man Jenkins was so certain. I'm going in, Sarah. You don't have to follow me.
I'm not going to let you get yourself killed. If something happens to you, I'll be the one explaining it to your family.
Do you hear that?
I don't hear anything.
There's something. It's a faint rustling. Not the wind. It's something else.
George? We need to go. Now.
It's just an animal. We need to keep going. We're close.
Oh, God! It's real! It's real!
Run! Run, Sarah! Run!
George! No!
Kinda saw that one coming.
Well, it was obvious.
So, The moral of the story is no one ever listens to old people.
No, no. While true, it wasn't the moral.
So what was it then?
Are you familiar with this urban legend?
Yeah, the Goblin of Easton.
Do you know the story?
There was once this monk at a mission who loved money and power more than he loved God. He would hear the confessions of the good folk and then blackmail them into giving him gold and silver to keep their darkest secrets. He turned many a wayward sinner towards the fire of hell than the gates of heaven. He encouraged their crimes in secret while he reviled in public.
Do you know how he got caught?
He beat a poor woman to death, and then was sentenced to hang for his crimes.
But it didn't stop there, did it?
No.
Yeah. Continue.
Just as his noose was cut and he was pronounced dead, his body began to transform. His face twisted. His eyes turned yellow. People screamed and fled. And no matter what they tried to do, they could not rid the demon. The mission was abandoned. Does your story end that way?
It does. Do you still want to hear it?
I do.
He was right! Old Man Jenkins was right! The goblin is real! It's not a story! It's a curse!
It can't be! That's madness! You're just delirious.
No, Ray. I saw it with my own eyes. It killed him. We need to do something. We need to stop it. It's not a fairy tale. It's real.
Sarah, I want to believe you. But if we're going to stop this thing, we need more than just your word. We need proof. We need a plan.
This is your proof.
Who's... What is this?
Who do you think?
What do you want to do? Do you want to storm the woods? In this fog? And just wait? Just wait for it to come out?
It has to be stopped, but I don't know how.
Something needs to be done, Ray.
I know. I don't want to, though.
I have to stop you again.
Oh, that's fine. Do you have a question?
I have many.
About the story, or about me?
Both, really.
Oh, what do you want to know?
The truth.
You're gonna need to be more specific.
Who are you?
I told you, I'm just a janitor who likes to tell stories.
What is your name?
Can I just, finish my story?
So, we're out here. What do we do now? We run?
We're not running, Ray. We've come this far. If this thing's real, then we have to face it. We can't just give up and let it take everyone.
But what if we can't stop it? What if it's too powerful?
It's here! Run!
Get to the trees! Move!
Oh, God! It's real! It's real!
We need to find something. Anything. We need to stop it.
We can't keep running forever. We need to do something. In there! Quickly!
What now? What do we do?
We wait. We stay quiet and pray it doesn't find us.
Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
They never got out, did they?
How could anyone see anything but the shadows if they never moved their heads? The truth would be literally nothing but shadows of the images. They wouldn't know, wouldn't feel, what it is to truly look.
So you're saying this was all in their heads? All of it?
It could have been, but does it matter if it was? If you believe it, does the truth change? Sometimes the story takes on a life of its own, and the fear becomes as real as the thing that created it.
You're not the goblin, are you?
No. I don't have yellow eyes.
What are you?
I'm just a traveler.
Some wander to get lost, while others wander to find themselves. Which one are you?
I'm here to understand, to give you the truth.
The truth?
Well, my time here is complete. I've given you some stories to write. What you choose to do with them, well, that's your journey now, my friend.
And the truth? What if the truth isn't what we thought it was?
Remember, nothing stays hidden forever. Not even me.
Eyes up with your rage.